name, I just thank you, Lord, for the anointing, for your presence, Lord, for revelation that is in your word, the inspiration, the illumination that will quicken faith to our hearts, that we would receive, Lord, not just theologically only, but in our hearts, our affections, our will, Lord, that we would not just be hearers, but doers only. Father, this is about your glory. This is about the wonderful plan, the will, the plan of redemption that you have for each one of us. You have a glorious redemptive plan for every believer, for the life of each believer. None of this, Father, is coincidental, by chance, but you have eternally foreordained each life, Father, and all that goes with that, Father, for your glory, for your kingdom. And we thank you, Father, for further revelation in this, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, we're continuing. I believe this will be the last message in Ephesians. I'll leave that with the Lord, won't I? But as far as I know, this is going to be the last message in Ephesians. We're in chapter 6. And let's look then from verse 16 to 18. I want to look at, we looked at verse 19 last time, let's look verses 16 to 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise God. So let's begin to put this together. So above all, that doesn't mean preeminence. Obviously faith is important. Faith is one of the three major gifts: faith, hope, love. The greatest of these is love. But in this context, it's like a canopy. So it's literally, it's above everything. Take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts. The idea there, the Roman soldier had a shield, he could stand behind it. It came up to his chest, he could stand behind it and hide under it when the enemy would fire those fiery darts. And the darts were quenched. So spiritually, what is this talking about? Well, it's not talking about taking up some kind of shield and calling it faith. Oh, I'm protecting myself from the enemy with everything that I can do, therefore it must be faith. No. Trusting God is the shield. Faith is the shield. The very faith with which we are born again, the faith with which we speak in tongues, the faith in which we appropriate the promises, that is the shield that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Just believing God. There are so many aspects of faith. There are as many aspects of prayer as there are faith. Prayer can be expressed in many different ways. We know Jesus groaned in the Spirit, didn't he? Before he raised Lazarus, he groaned in the Spirit. And then he said, without anyone actually hearing him, a formal prayer before he actually prayed in public, he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And then he went to explain, the only reason I'm praying this is so that those around me would know living God in heaven, that you answer prayer. It's essentially what he was saying. But he groaned in the Spirit. Sometimes a prayer can be, thank you, Jesus. And we're going to look later, the name Jesus, just those who call upon the name of Jesus. That name, salvation, is in the name Jesus. healing, deliverance, a full redemption, just to call upon the name of Jesus is a prayer. And so you say, well, what is prayer then? What actually is prayer? Prayer is the God-ordained means by which we release faith. Prayer is the God-ordained means by which we release faith. Praise God. You can, yes. Prayer is communion with the Father, warfare in the Spirit. Prayer is a lot of things, but ultimately the complete answer to what is prayer is the means that God has ordained whereby we release faith. And we need to be careful. Prayer is not a substitute for obedience, but it's the very means into obedience. You say, well, I'm struggling at the moment. There are things that I'm going through in my life, problems, I've failed, I'm going through a bad patch, there's sin in my life. I don't feel that I can pray. I feel condemned. I feel God is a million miles away. My circumstances tell me that I'm failing. My feelings won't allow me to rejoice in the Lord's presence. How can I pray? How can I pray in such a situation? Well, dear friends, I've got good news for you, those who are in that condition. We're going to look further, aren't we, at praying with all prayer and perseverance. If that is your condition, dear friends, scriptures simply say, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If you will just acknowledge that, bow the knee in God's presence and admit, just confess that sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse you from all sin. Remember what we said straight away, your faith, just you trusting in Jesus, that is your shield. As long as that faith comes from an honest heart, a heart that is desiring to do God's will. Now, a lot of people are seeking deliverance from their sin because they're tired of the chastisement. They don't want the penalty. They don't want the punishment. Now, let's put these scriptures together, what we've just read, and in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Praise God. A very simple little scripture, but I wonder if we've truly understood it. And look at this, while we're turning there. Remember in verse 16, that the shield of faith, or faith as a shield, faith which is our shield, will quench all the fiery darts, any and all. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. So let's have a look at this. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. She will bring forth a son. So the angel talking to Joseph. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Names are significant. Names are significant. Jesus, God, my Saviour. God is my Saviour. God is salvation. And he will save me from my sins. What does that word save mean? It means deliver. He will deliver me. He will deliver me from sins. And from the moment I bow the knee and confess, they're no longer mine. In order to be delivered from them, we first have to own them. It's not the circumstances, it's not the trial, it's nobody else's fault. Father, forgive me, I have sinned. And from that time, I can then disown them. God has removed them. He has delivered me from the guilt, not just in some general way, but in what way? See, that word save is interchangeable. Healing, deliverance. Salvation, healing, deliverance. So in what way has he delivered us from our sins? He's delivered us from the guilt. He's delivered us from the power. He's delivered us from the defilement. And he's delivered us from the ultimate penalty, of sin, which is death. Now, a word of caution there. All sin has consequences. We cannot sin with impunity. But even as God chastens us, as he works with us, he's delivered us from the ultimate penalty. He took upon his own flesh all of those things to deliver us. Okay, he's set us free from all the aspects of our sin. And in that faith, we then move from that faith, from the faith of being born again, from the faith of getting saved, right to the faith that will see us through to maturity, the faith of sonship. Praise God. Now, in that faith which is a shield, all the fiery darts of the wicked one will be quenched. So, what are the fiery darts then? So, just in trusting God, in believing God, what is that faith and what are those fiery darts? Well, let's take this a step further. We have traditionally said that the cross is the opposite of self, right? Or self is the opposite of the cross. Well, let's take it a step further, right? The cross is the opposite of faith. Faith cannot look to itself. Faith cannot look to itself. When faith is working, it knows that it cannot look inside. You cannot look inside yourself to see the kingdom, to see the answer, right? To see the blessing, the provision. Faith is total dependence on God, and it can only look to Jesus. What we're looking at here is the very fact that Jesus is our shield. When we call upon the name of Jesus in faith, he is our shield. And those fiery darts, lies, accusations, pride, sickness, demonic oppression, all those things that try to destroy us, those are the fiery darts. Trials, circumstances. Now, you know, trials, praise the Lord, God sends or allows trials, but it's in those trials that Satan is so vocal, isn't he? He doesn't wait until we're walking in a full manifestation and we're all full of faith and power. He doesn't attack us then. He attacks us. He waits until we're at our weakest. Then he will fling those arrows, right? Those accusations, those lies, all the things that he would try to rob us of our faith. Now, you may say to me, yeah, okay, I understand that, that's what the word says, but my brother, I'm experiencing some problems. I'm weak, I've failed, I'm not overcoming as I should, going through a bad patch, right? But there's an aspect of faith that I hope this will encourage those who are in that condition. There is an aspect of faith, and there are many aspects, but if your faith is enduring, if you have an enduring faith, if you are holding on today, that no matter how you feel, no matter what has just happened, you have laid hold of a promise of God, a promise of forgiveness, a promise of healing, a promise of deliverance, of provision, if today you are holding on, that faith will eventually quench the fiery darts of the one. Your perseverance, your endurance, is the most important lesson you will ever learn in your Christian faith. The God of peace will eventually, the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The most important aspect of our faith is that endurance, that holding on. Jesus said, in your endurance, you possess your soul. There's an aspect, there's a branch called the perseverance of the saints. And they deliberately call it the perseverance of the saints rather than the preservation of God, because It emphasizes, praise God, the need for faith. God will always do his bit. You can always rely on God to fulfill his part of the covenant. We cannot persevere if God doesn't preserve. We cannot endure if God doesn't keep us. So we know he's going to do that bit. But praise God, this is also the other side. He won't, or he isn't preserving us if we're not persevering. God has done everything he's going to do about your salvation, about my salvation. There's nothing more that Jesus can do. He went to the cross. He's filled us with his Spirit. He's giving us his word. There's nothing more he can do. But within giving us his word, within giving us his Spirit, he's placed within us that apostolic faith. He's restoring faith, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to see to it that we inherit our inheritance. The Father's will has been secured to us by our faith in the blood of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is now working. It's his ministry to bring us in as sons to full inheritance. It's his ministry to provide, to apply the atonement. And nothing in the atonement is automatic. So within that, he's given us the faith by grace to appropriate all he has provided. Do you see that balance? He's given us the faith by grace to appropriate what he has provided. And that faith is a shield. That faith is a confession. It's an act. It's an attitude. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a prayer life. It's consecration. It's the very substance of the things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. You say, where is it? Well, if you've got faith in your heart, that faith in your heart is the very evidence, is the very proof that you have the thing that you've asked for God, because you based it on your knowledge of his will, which is revealed in his word. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So there's those two things. We believe according to the revelation that he gives us of himself, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The only legitimate answer for you, the only legitimate reason for you offering a prayer to God, is that you get an answer. Now, that's a dangerous statement to make, because you think, well, that's selfish, that's covenant, covetous. No, not at all. What is the reason you want an answer? As I said, it's to glorify God. It's not to escape from being punished for sin. It's not a selfish thing, because our faith works by love. The greatest way, the quickest way to get your needs met is to forget them and be for somebody else. You see, Jesus has set us free with this. We have been set free, but we're told not to use oddity as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And the whole essence, the whole point of faith is that we can forsake all, I trust him, we forget about ourselves, and we minister one to another. And so we confess the promise. How long does it take to say, thank you, Jesus? How long does it take to say, by Jesus' stripes I was healed? How long does it take to say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? You know, if we will forget about ourselves, if we will let our faith do what it's supposed to and look to Jesus and release that faith in prayer, praying one for another, let the needs take care of themselves. You know, God is teaching us total dependence. He told us to seek first, to seek only, that means the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we come across a promise like that, all we need to say is, thank you, Jesus. Now show me how to seek your kingdom. Show me how to labor in your vineyard in the quiet confidence that you will provide all my needs for me. But you see, our problem is we haven't let go. We want to be delivered, not because we hate sin, but we don't like the punishment. We want to be delivered because we have needs. We want to trust God because we have so many needs that need meeting. And I can't spend time in the Word as I like because, well, I've got to do this, that and the other. You see, in order to minister to myself, you see, faith is at the very heart of discipleship. When we can trust God in this way, we don't have to spend our prayer and our energy and our time ministering to self. We simply let go, leave it all in the hands of Almighty God, trusting Him, letting Him provide, while we are busy about the things of the kingdom. We can spend time in the Word and not have to hold two jobs down. We can spend time in the Word and not have to minister to our own particular needs, because God has provided. Praise God. And yes, being kingdom-minded is a revelation. Are we seeing that kingdom? So, there's that understanding of faith, the different ways in which faith works and prayer prevails through faith. But dear friends, we need a motivation. We need a motivation, don't we? Jesus has said that He will save us from all our sins. He will deliver us from our sins. He will clothe us. He will protect us. He will keep us, clothe us spiritually, I mean, as well, praise God. He said those things, and yet also He expects us to appropriate it by faith. And somehow, sometimes He has to allow the enemy to attack us to teach us the principles of warfare. And there are things in our hearts that we're not yet free from. And this is where we have to become honest. Are these attacks coming from without, or are they from within? And are we dealing simply with a temptation? Are we dealing with a temptation that is attacking us? Or are we dealing with a lust that we love, that we enjoy? Are we doing what we want to do? We said it years ago, didn't we? God has promised to deliver us from our enemies. He will not deliver us from our friends, even when our friends are actually the enemies. Do you understand what we're saying? If we love it, this is where we begin our walk of deliverance. We have to repent of that. We have to be honest about that. Do we want to be rescued? Do we want to be rescued? Do we want to be free of that sin? And there's where we've got to be brutally honest. You see, remember, God is rooting out the guilt, the defilement, the condemnation of sin. Right? We all want the penalty to go, but do we want that defilement? Do we want the power of it dealt with in our lives? And so, if we have that enduring faith, if we have a faith that will last for eternity, praise God, as we stay with it, God will complete our faith. He'll develop that faith. He will teach us that overcoming faith. He will work that within us, praise God. But what is our motive? What is our reason? And this is now where we come into prevailing prayer. Prayer one for another. Prayer in the Spirit. It's more than just prayer in tongues. Prayer in tongues is the beginning. It's the start. It's the wedding ring. When you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, the Bride of Christ is showing to the universe, showing to Jesus, showing to the world, showing to the devil, this is my wedding ring. I am betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, I am spoken for. You back off, because I am spoken for. That's what it is to pray in tongues, to pray in the Spirit. But there's more than just those languages, as wonderful as they are. In our spirit, in our heart, we enter in. we think upon, and this is what I'm learning to do, not in some mystical way, but my faith is in the name of Jesus. My faith is in his blood, in his person, in his name, all he's wrought at Calvary. So I learn to think about Jesus when I'm praying in the Spirit. You know, we could just sit back and pray in tongues and let our minds wander all over the place. And we forget about what we've actually started praying for. Prayer in tongues cannot be limited. Prayer in tongues will bypass the intellect. Amen to all of that. Amen to all of that. But you see, we've also got a thing, if you look here in verse 17 of Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation. Again, an interesting translation, but it's the helmet of deliverance to protect the mind. We have been delivered. And why is that thing on our head? To protect our mind. The thoughts we think are important. The thoughts we think are important. And this is where the work, the process takes place. The renewing of the mind is a process, takes a long time, even a lifetime. And as we saturate, as we meditate in the Word, as we, over the years, over time, each day, spend that time saturating our hearts and our minds with the Word, the positive promises, with Scripture, with principles, communing with God, each day our minds become renewed. We begin to see things as he sees them. We begin to take on the mind of Christ. Now I guarantee that the mind of Christ, when he was on this earth, it didn't wander all over the place. I'm sure he was tempted. He was tempted in all points like as we were, yet without sin. He kept his thoughts, his affections, his attention on the Heavenly Father, on knowing and doing God's will, on listening, on hearing from the Holy Spirit. You know, when they tempted him with that woman taking an adultery and he wrote on the ground and they pressured him to make a judgment, he was waiting on his Father, he was waiting on the Spirit for that divine wisdom, the mind of Christ to be expressed. And that's what we're doing. We're waiting on our God. So when we pray one for another, you know, okay, we're rest, maybe we've had a tired, it's a long day, we're tired and all the rest of it. But friends, that's a great opportunity to focus, to enter in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, concentrating, thinking upon the name of Jesus, meditating on a scripture. It's something we'll have to practice. It's something that God works with us if we want it. Now again, let the Lord work that within you. There's no condemnation in this. This is why God has given us those languages, because he knows the state that our mind is in, and it will wander, it will do whatever it has to do. In my case, it will create a garden, it will dig a garden and make a pond and all the things that it does, praise God, and plant, you know, the various alpines and all the things that I think about at times. But I'm in a process as I yield my entire being over to the Holy Spirit. He's training me. That's what it is to yield to the Holy Spirit. It takes time. He knows where we are. And as long as our heart is right and we want, you know, we want the best for the person we're praying for, we're praying for them as we would have them pray for us. Now, if you heard of somebody praying for you and they're just sat back taking in the sun, just gone into autopilot, they don't really care. In that sense, I'm making a point, I'm exaggerating, I acknowledge that. But they're just, you know, just praying in tongues, but they're not really entering in to what you're going through. Not much of a prayer. You wouldn't want that for yourself. So don't let's give that to anyone else. It's the fervent, effectual, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man that avails. So put yourself in their position. If they're hurting, you're hurting, you pray with that same intensity. Do you understand what we're saying? But all this takes time. All this it requires that we yield, that we allow ourselves to be trained by the Holy Spirit, who will pray the Father's heart, who will pray that perfect prayer, who will pray according to God's will in and through us. Praise God. But it takes time, it takes that consecration. Now the motivation, so we love the Lord, we've got the right motives now, we've understood that this is about God's glory, it's not about me not being punished anymore, this is about God's glory, this is about serving my brother and sister, I've forgotten my own needs, there's nothing I want now, I'm complete in Christ, I simply confess the thing, so I'm totally dependent on the Lord, and I take my gospel each day, I take the pills, don't I? You know, if people can pop a pill to remove their ailments, why can't I confess a promise? That's my gospel for the day. The word will revitalize every single cell in my body. I'm totally dependent on God. It's God's word that is life to all my flesh. It's God's word that is that invigorating, quickening health to my life, to my mind, to my spirit, to my body. Let me take a gospel. If a man-made pill can work, how much more will a gospel? All right, praise God. Confess it, speak it, believe it, reckon it. You won't understand it. God will give you the understanding, but just do what God says. Reckon it, because God said it. Praise God, and eventually that revelation will come. Praise God. But something has got to motivate me to press in. And at that point, because we're talking about prevailing prayer now, let's turn to Luke 18. Jesus said, I've come to deliver you from sin. And yet, you know, sin, it's happening. Problems are happening. Needs are happening. So what is the problem? Let's turn to Luke 18. Praise God. Without scripture, the kingdom and the righteousness of the kingdom has been wrought by persistent prayer. And until you and I realize, beloved, that we have been robbed, we're not going to do anything about it. Oh, well, God will provide. God will do it. And we sit back and wait for God when God is actually waiting for us. We need to be meeting our God halfway. Remember, I've said that Jesus has done all he's going to do about our problem. But he's given us the means to appropriate what he's done, because nothing is automatic in the atonement. Nothing in the atonement is automatic. It's provided. It's there. You have a legal claim on it, but you've got to go to the registry office and stake your claim. You've then got to go out and peg the area of land that you have registered. You've got to act your faith in that, to appropriate it. And then anyone who tries to rob that land is doing so illegally, and you have the legal right to remove them from that land. And this is where our prevailing prayer comes in. Satan is a thief, a liar, a robber, and yet we've just sat back and let him do it because the effort is too great. I don't know if I can. Well, you and I can't. What's impossible with man is possible with God. That's the whole point of this great good news. It's out of our hands, but God has put it in our hearts to believe him, to trust him, and to let him restore. Let's look at Luke 18. Because, dear friends, we're being robbed. We're under attack. And we need to get back. We need to stake our claim on what Jesus gave us. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always pray and not lose heart. So there's whatever we read now, whatever we read in that parable from now on, the point is that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. Not occasionally, not when we feel like it, not when it's convenient, but always. And this is the parable. There was in a certain city a judge, did not fear God nor regard man. There was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Deliver me from my adversary. Didn't Jesus say that part of our prayer is to deliver me from the wicked one? Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the wicked one, from the evil one. Adversary, you know what adversary in the Hebrew word for adversary, if you spell it out, is S-A-T-A-N. Shatan means adversary. Satan is the adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Praise God, he's bearing with us, isn't he? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He's looking for faith. And this is the faith that he's looking for. That prevailing prayer. That prayer that will not give up. Now, that is motivated by two things. The desire for God's glory and the lack at the present moment of God's glory in our lives. Now, this isn't vain repetition. This isn't banging our head against a brick wall, a stubborn refusal to accept reality. Faith is reality. Jesus is the ultimate reality. We have been robbed, and it ought to matter. We're not yet complete in all that God has provided for us. Now, friends, let's rest in that and let our faith and let the Spirit do the work. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, don't let's get emotional and all religious and worked up. But as we acknowledge our need, the Holy Spirit will lead us into this prayer, whether it's birthing through occasionally 10 minutes or 10 hours or 10 days, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you and I to do, or rather moves us in that season of prayer, as we yield to him, he will move us. Now, he's not going to touch one area of our lives unless we give him that permission. But as we open up to him, he will do whatever it takes in and through us to appropriate what he has done on our behalf. We will birth that thing through. It's birthing it through. Anyone can say, I claim it in the name of Jesus, and then sit back. But a son will have understood, as we grow up in this, the Holy Spirit will keep us at this. He will keep us at it each day. Whatever the, you know, there's no formula in this, but if we have that proper motivation, the desire for God's glory, our love for one another, that we want to honour the name of Jesus, we want to honour what he did on our behalf at Calvary, God will anoint, he will anoint, the Holy Spirit will lead us into that prayer. It doesn't have to be, you know, you read in these books about men who stayed before God for 10 days without eating and drinking. It took them 9 days just to get still, and then they prayed. That was their ministry. That was their gift. That was the way the Holy Spirit was working with them. But he's working with you and I. Yes, that prevailing prayer to pray through. But be sensitive. If today the Holy Spirit says, you know, come, turn the TV off, come aside, I want to pray through you, I want to intercede through you today, then we'll do it. And if after 10 minutes, you know in your heart the work is done, praise God, it's done. Don't get religious, oh Lord, that was only 10 minutes, I want to pray for another 8 hours. You know, just let the Lord do it. And if the Lord, you know, you're praying and you forget about everything else, and 10 days later you still find yourself praying, then praise God. The Holy Spirit has worked that through you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But it's that attitude, it's heart, it's that consecration that today I'm available because the church is under attack. I'm available, Lord, because you've set me free to serve you. Augustine, depending on where you come from, said a very dangerous thing, and it took a while for me to understand it. It had to be explained. But he said, love God and do what you want. Love God and do what you want. Have you understood that? If you truly love the Lord, you will only want to do what he wants. You will want to do what he wants. Our will, our affections, our entire being moving in the stream and the flow of his purpose in harmony with his revealed will, because that's all that matters to you and I, because we love the Lord. Praise God. 10 seconds, 10 minutes, 10 days, whatever. Let the Lord use you in this wonderful ministry. And as we all join together in this, as we allow the Holy Spirit to intercede through us, the perfect will of God, that Lord, let's keep one another, keep each other, keep my brother and sister in your perfect will, no matter what. I mean, it'll take trials. I'm not asking you to stop them going through trials. But Father, you know, Lord, the only thing that matters is that they stay in your perfect will. Whatever we have to go through, Jesus himself learned obedience by the things he suffered. He experienced what it was to submit to his Father's will. That's what it means. There was no sin in his life to deal with. But he had to experience as a human being to submit to the Father's will. And he did that by what he suffered. So are we going to have an easier way? No. We'll go through our pain, our trials, our testings, but as we stay with this, we're learning God's will. We learn obedience. We learn to appreciate the glory, the blessing of what is to submit to the Father's will. In that way, we can resist the devil. There's our shield, James said, isn't it? To submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He is our shield. The devil will flee when he sees that, because he knows he's going to be defeated by it. Praying, that persistent, that all-persisting, prevailing prayer. It's not about how we feel in that, willpower or emotion, but with the correct motive, with our love for Jesus, our love for one another, our self-giving desire to serve, to be used as part of God's glory in this present season. Praise God, the Holy Spirit will set a match to that. The fire will fall from heaven. He will receive that sacrifice, and the altar being repaired, the prophets of Baal will flee. Because make no mistake, you've only got to turn the news on. You've only got to turn the news on, and you will see the New Age agenda coming to pass. You will hear people saying that they're now the subject of hate crimes. I notice that over the centuries, nobody's mentioned about the millions of Christian martyrs, have they? The millions of genuine believers that have been martyred. Oh no, it's some other section of society that's being persecuted, isn't it? Nobody tends to sort of mention about the thousands of Christians that are even being killed. We know of some, and I won't mention what part of the world they're in, for their sake, for safety's sake. But you see what I'm saying? We're in a spiritual warfare, and the New Age, the Antichrist system, they're not slack. They're not lazy. They're very diligent. They're preparing. They're doing their business, aren't they? Promoting their agenda. What are we doing? What are we doing? The scriptures do say pray without ceasing. But as I've said, if you're on a telephone or operating machinery, how do you pray without ceasing? Remember, faith continually looks to Jesus. As soon as you've released faith, you've prayed. It's to be in that attitude of constantly believing God, trusting the Lord, just the name Jesus, and you're praying. Praise God, it's that constant looking to him, the gaze of the soul, the looking to Jesus, But again, the Holy Spirit has to train us in that. None of this is possible intellectually, philosophically, in our own strength. But as we bow the knee, as we acknowledge it, and as we allow the Spirit to train us in this, just as the other side, the enemy, trains his disciples, they know all about this. When a Christian's going to understand that the Holy Spirit has come to train us in these things and to develop this character and this fruit in us. Praise God. None of us can overcome our own strength. None of us can do this in our own strength. The question is, do we want to? Is this something we want with all our hearts? And we also acknowledge that this only can be done not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And in that, we then have the victory. In that, we can then appropriate by the Spirit what the blood of Jesus has purchased for us according to the will of God. Praise God. This is wonderful, isn't it? And as we close, I just want to sort of, as I bring this to a close, you know, this is preparation. In Luke 12 and verse 46, you see, you may say to me, well, you know, I feel a little bit condemned by this because it's beyond me. I know that I have problems. I'm not the most obedient of people. Right, well, then let's stop there. Because first of all, right, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate the fact that you're acknowledging that, but that actually is not a very good confession. That's not the best confession. Confess it as sin, but then take the next step. Then take the next step. I'm under the blood of Jesus. I'm under the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Start with verse 46 of Luke 12. The master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Okay. The central issue to that, yes, that gives us a fear of God, but before we try to do God's will, let's prepare. And it's that prayer that is preparing us to do God's will. It's through that prayer that we acknowledge, we commune with God. I love you, Lord. I want to do your will. You know the struggles that I'm going through, but I thank you, Father, that the cross has come to deal with that flesh, and by your grace, I will obey you. Don't end it with a negative confession. Okay, that's where we start. We are to confess our sins. But please, beloved, continue with the next bit. That Father, and we speak it into existence. Psalm 85 is a beautiful psalm for this. We speak into existence, thank you, Jesus. Don't be begging and pleading with him. Thank you, Jesus. You have provided the cross to deal with those areas. You are working in me both to will and to do for your good pleasure. Thank you for your promise that you yourself, you are the author and finisher of my faith. You're the one perfecting this faith in me. You're the one working obedience in me. I'm complete in you. Thank you, Jesus. Do you understand that? We've got to take the fight to the enemy. That's the sword of the Spirit. We're defeating the enemy by the things that we say. Don't let's defeat ourselves by what God has said. Let's defeat the enemy by what God has said. We have every right, we have every right from Scripture to put the enemy to flight by God's word. Commit to it, believe, commit to it. And just speak that word in the name of Jesus. And in time, that obedience, you'll find yourself just walking in the spirit, in obedience, those things of the flesh have gone. Yes, bow the knee, acknowledge our need for repentance, and wait on God. But in the meantime, doesn't Hebrews say, you know, raise up those hands? Yes, God is chastening. He won't allow unholiness in his presence. But let that praise come forth. Let that song, new song, that song of glory, raise up into the heavenlies. Praise God, that's the best shield I know. Satan won't go anywhere near that. So Psalm 85, Lord, you have been favourable to your land. Praise God, we've been hearing about possessing the land, haven't we? You've brought back the captivity of Jacob, amen. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. You've taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us. Praise God, restoration. Restore us, O God of our salvation, O God of our healing, God of our deliverance, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again? So those questions there mean no, he's not going to. Of course he will revive us again. That your people may rejoice in you. Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation, your healing, your deliverance. I will hear what God, Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation, his healing, his deliverance. Greek and Hebrew, the word is interchangeable. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory, not shame, but glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together in Christ, hasn't it? This is a new, you know, psalm, but it's New Testament. Look at it. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth in the resurrection, the way the truth and the life come out, didn't they, of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven, praise God. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Praise God. Set us in the way of his steps. But, you know, let's do this properly. Let's be serious. This isn't mere triumphalism. As we make that commitment, that we are people of redemption, not of judgment. And that God has put his spirit within us to enable us to appropriate what he has given us. Then praise God. Praise God. Praise is a great way of keeping the enemy at bay. It's a great way of glorifying God. And all he requires of us is that faith and that obedience. And if again, I keep saying, if that obedience seems to be lacking at the moment, you know what to do now. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And praise God, here's the best news of all, quenching the fiery darts of the wicked. If you hear, you see, you can forsake your sin, but your sin might not forsake you, so it'll try to come back, won't it? Well, Jesus now lives in your house, doesn't he? So why are you opening the door? If you hear somebody knocking at the door, why don't you let Jesus, who dwells in the house, why don't you let him answer it? See what the enemy does then. He is our advocate in heaven. Why are we doing all the speaking when we have an advocate waiting to speak for us? Do you understand what we're saying here? He is our shield. He is our deliverance. He's our saviour. Okay, we've bowed the knee to him as Lord. We have bowed the knee to him as Lord. He has now pledged, he's made a covenant. Now that you've given me your life, I am now your life. Your life is now hidden in me. I'm your shield. I'm your deliverer. I'm your provider. I am your bridegroom. I am the captain of the Lord of hosts that goes before you. I am your victory. I'm your banner. Do you get the idea, dear friends? I'm the advocate. I am speaking on your behalf to the Father. I'm making sure that you stay in fellowship with Almighty God. You fellowship with God through me. Friends, let's cease from this in our own strength and let our faith begin to look to Him and make ourselves available to serve. This primarily is not about power. Really, it isn't. It's about serving. God's power will flow through those who've given their lives to serve one another, to serve Him, to wait on Him, to worship Him. It's not about, look at the revelation I'm getting. There are no alphas in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not about people who seek recognition. Faith is the opposite of that. Faith will express itself in a continual service to the glory of God for others. The reason some of you, bless your hearts, are not getting your needs met is because you're still ministering to self. You're still using your time, your prayer, your faith, your energy to promote yourself, to look after yourself, to make yourself look attractive, to make yourself prosperous, to heal yourself. Faith is not for yourself. Faith is for the glory of God, to give yourself unto Him in unconditional, unreserved surrender to serve your brother and sister in His kingdom. Faith is not simply a means of exchange, not simply the currency of heaven. Faith is the very means by which God will fulfill His glorious redemptive plan through you and me, through our lives, as we yield ourselves completely to Him. Praise God. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm going to leave it there. If there's any more, then praise God. You know, the Lord will show me, won't He? But as far as I know, that completes our teaching in Ephesians. I'm sure there's more, isn't there? Because it's the Lord, right? So, praise God. Prevailing prayer. Just making ourselves available to press through for His glory. Because He's the one giving us that. He's done all He's going to do. The reason there's so much complacency, the reason there's so much apathy, is we're waiting for God to do something that He's already done. It's now time to rise up. The cross, yeah, and dealing with sin, yeah, but don't let that make you look inward. The whole point of that is there's nothing in me that will save me. There's nothing in me that will save my brother and sister. There's nothing in me that will win the kingdom, that will see the kingdom, that will experience, you know, bring down the kingdom in my own strength. That violence that takes the kingdom by force is the violence of faith by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let the Holy Spirit work these things in and through us with the proper motives. The motive, I love Jesus. I love my brother and sister. I've had enough of Satan attacking my brother and sister. When David fought Goliath, he was trained, wasn't he? He saved those lambs from the bear and the lion, didn't he? And what was God doing there? Yes, he was encouraging David's confidence in Him, but He was testing his attitude. Oh, well, they're just a couple of lambs. Got plenty more. Plenty more where that come from. I'm not going to risk my life with a bear and a lion for a couple of lambs. No way. Well, you see, that was not a true shepherd if that had been happening. A true shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So he laid his life down for a couple of lambs, rescued them by faith with his bare hands from a bear and from a lion. God proving, God testing that this man had the right attitude, the right motive. This is a man that I can use. He was only a boy, wasn't he? 16, looking after some sheep. And that prepared him to face Goliath. Same with you and I. What we're going through now, God is seeing our attitudes, seeing our motives. Are we being prepared for the great conflicts that's to come? Our ministries, are we being prepared and cleansed for God's presence in eternity, for the millennium, for all the things that God is revealing to us? It takes preparation. Faith doesn't happen overnight. Praise God. God bless you, brethren. I will finish it there. Thank you for your time, for your attention. And again, my thanks to all those that have been monitoring. I pray that that's a blessing to your hearts. You'll receive that. You'll talk it out with the Lord. And that you'll converse with him, commune with him over it. Because as I keep saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is something that has to be God-given. A man can receive nothing except it's given him from heaven. But let's meet him halfway. We have to make ourselves available. We have to open up to him in that. Praise God. God bless you, my beloved brethren.